In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today, the second Sunday of the Holy 50 days, and as we all maybe remember, that the theme of the 50 days are all about Christ, describing himself to us by starting saying, I am. So today, he is the bread of life. We hear him speaking later on about himself being the light of the world, and etc. So today, when the Lord said, I am the bread of life, then he says after this, he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. And here there is some kind of a deception in this world that we live in, that Satan and the world, they try to be an alternative food for us, in a way that convince or try to convince us that we can find our satisfaction and satiation away from God. So today we are going to speak about this. What exactly we should be aware of when it comes to satiating our hunger and thirsting and quenching our thirst, and also what is the difference between what God can give and what we can acquire from the world. There is always a competition, and we have to be aware of the deception. What does the world promise in terms of satiating our hunger? The first thing is, we hear a message every day about happiness that we can attain in this world. And then this happiness is defined for many by acquiring something or attaining a certain status. We know this, and we see how our children are so excited to get maybe the newest device when it comes to technology. Whatever, it's a phone or whatever. And then today they are excited and happy. Tomorrow there is a new model, and then another excitement to acquire the new one. And after a year, what we have in our hands now is outdated. No one is attractive to it, and there is something new and something new. And we keep on just running, trying to acquire this happiness that we think that we are going to attain whenever we have this in our hands. And this is an endless process. The aim is to keep us always busy trying to acquire something, and we assume that this will make us happy. This car, this house, whatever, this job, all of these are promises that we assume they will make us happy. Also, the world defines happiness as considering a temporary pleasure to be joy. So we sometimes assume that joy is when we enjoy some few minutes here and there, going on a vacation or tasting something that's maybe unlawful. So the world defines this as joy. What is fun is in the mind of many is what is the definition of joy is all about. I do not know anything except that when I have fun, then I am happy. And this is, and again, another deception. Because this fun, once you get used to it, you want something more and something different. Maybe changing the place. Maybe changing the faces around me. Maybe going more wild in the fun that I am trying to make myself happy with it. And we go from one station to another, trying to find this temporary pleasure that we assume this will bring joy to us. Also, along the same way of trying to finding worldly happiness, we define a career or marriage or a place to live in as an end, where we think happiness will start and will last ever after. We hear this, that once people, they marry, this is only in the movies, of course, all the married people know that this is just a deceit. Once they marry, then they live happily ever after. And all of the young people, under this deception, trying to reach this point. So all of this concern is about when the time when they will come to marry. The time when they are single, just a time that's wasted. There is nothing should be done except to hunt for the person that will make me happy later on. And while doing this, we deceive ourselves and waste the time of being alone. We do not learn anything from it. And whenever we come to the reality of marriage, where problems and conflicts happen, then we are disappointed and frustrated. and we feel like someone tricked us. No job, no place, no marriage or whatever will make anyone happy. Living in the United States or living in anywhere else in the world, this is not going to bring us happiness, will never satiate our hunger. The second point of the deception is portraying God as a provider of the perceived happiness. If this device will make me happy, let me pray for God that He is going to bring it to me. Let me pray for God that He will make me to attain this status, acquire this job, or marry this person. So God as the end is not the ultimate end. He's just a provider. All of the relationship between me and Him, that He is the means to get me into what I think will make me happy. And then, when we do not receive what we are asking, many times our prayers to acquire something fail. And then we say to God what Job was speaking about. We say, who is the Almighty that we should serve Him? And what profit do we have if we pray to Him? Who is the Almighty that we serve Him? We got nothing from Him. We ask it for this and this and this and this, and He did not grant us. Look here how things progress and advance in order to take us away from the source of satiation and trying to fill us with all of this trash in the world that we assume will make us happier. Then, the world promises us freedom while doing whatever we assume or what we hear every day, the message, this will make you happy and free. And while we are doing this, we are enslaving ourselves to many, many things in the world. Those who entice us even to enjoy their false freedom, those who are speaking in our ears or the ears of our children every day, saying, do this, be a man, enjoy your life. You are not a kid anymore, just go and do this. They are themselves, they are slaves to corruption. While they promise liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. While trying these liberties, we are shackled by chains of dependence and addiction. We all know the struggle when we are taken by a certain habit. We learn it, and later on we know the danger of it, and we see the suffering that we are going through or trying to get out from it. We regret the time when we started this, when we come to know that what was promised as liberty is just a trick from the enemy to make us slaves. Another point of deception is instilling doubts in our hearts that we can achieve anything with God. You see on the screen this poor child who's sitting in the church texting, just wasting his time because he is bored, because the church is boring for him. It is not easy, of course, for the youngsters to enjoy the prayers, but instead of doing something good, sharing in the prayers, trying to learn from it, we just come here physically, but mentally and psychologically we are detached. Many of our children, unfortunately, while I'm talking now, I know that they are on their cell phones just texting because church is boring. And then when they go out from it and they detested nothing, in their minds, the church will never make me happy. I tried it. And then later on, when all other means fail, when I try everything and I am miserable, the church is not an alternative that I would try. Why? Because I tried it before when I was young and it was not fun. The church is not a theater where people come here for entertainment. The church is the foundation and the pillar of the truth. Lacking patience and endurance, with inexperience and refusal of counsel, combined with lack of sincerity and seriousness, all of this lead us to say, I do not benefit anything from the church. I don't like it. And then we come to the point where the people of Israel in the book of Malachi said to God, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept His ordinances? Those were supposedly the children of God saying this. What profit is it that we have kept His ordinances? And what we have, we, walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts. So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. And the children of God, they envy the wicked. They envy them, hoping maybe if we walk like them, we will be as happy as we think they are. It's a step after another, walking from one to the other one under this deception that unfortunately you are surrounded with every day. The fifth deception is teaching us worldly wisdom that always fails at the end. And we think that because we are smart, or maybe we learn certain skills, then this will make us happy. The wisdom of this world is always the key word in it. It's self-seeking. It is covered and only serving this selfishness. All what I know, all of my skills and ability, I use it in order for me to be lifted up, for others to serve me, to abuse and manipulate, to get the people to do for me what I want, and we call it wisdom. So what happened when we try this? It fails, and everything else fails. The family fails, the church fails when we tried something like this, and personally we fail. We are disappointed and frustrated because the people are not doing for us what we assume that we deserve it. And this worldly wisdom, when we are at the end facing the consequences of living like this, we say that maybe we try something else, another tool. St. James says the description of this wisdom, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, these are the keywords. This wisdom of the world makes us to have bitter envy and self-seeking. Don't boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from heaven, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Many, many people, they marry and they have in their mind that to be wise, to lead the house, or to be a person who has a status, I have to get others to do for me what I want. Not because this is right. It is because this is what I understand what is love is. Love is for someone else to do for me what I want. And we keep on pushing the people in order for us to get our way. And when it fails, nothing actually is working when we live by this kind of wisdom. So here, let us go after we saw the deception that we are surrounded with, how the Lord truly satiate our hunger, how he quench our thirst. We know that God is not a provider for money and status and health. We tried this and we know very, very much if this is really what is goodness is about, is what a blessing is about, then why all of the disciples were poor? Why all of the saints and martyrs were living under difficult circumstances? We have to get this outside of our mind entirely. God is not a servant for my wishes. He is not going to grant me health and wealth because I am following him. If you are here in the church today, assuming or asking or seeking God for this, I have bad news for you. God is not going to work this way. He might provide, yes, when this is going to help our salvation, but this is not what God is for. What exactly God can give that can satiate our thirst, our hunger? He gives us the true freedom that is from within. Freedom is not to do whatever you want. Freedom is to be able to decide on your own and you do whatever you want truly, with nothing that's pulling you against your will. Freedom is what is from within. Nothing is over controlling you. This is what freedom is about. Freedom is not a status of just doing whatever in this world or living in a free country. Many, many people living in America, they are slaves. Slaves for habits and addictions and dependence. And we can name many, many things of these masters that are enslaving us every day. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. St. Paul, he was in prison And he has chains in his hands, and he still was able to stand and pray, and writing to the church of Philippians saying, rejoice in the Lord. How he was able to do this? He was free in prison. And many peoples outside are enslaved in their own prisons that the world got them in. God makes those who follow him free. If you know what I mean, if you tasted this, you will know this is different. No one else can set you free except him. He also blesses us with peace. To be satiated is not to eat or to acquire something. It is to have this peace in your heart that make you one person. During the great fast, we do not eat, we abstain from food for a long time, many days. We come to the church attending liturgies that finish late. We are so tired and exhausted, but we go out from the church with a sense of satiation that nothing can be matching this. Only God can make us one. Aren't we one? No, we aren't. We are not. We have many, many people inside us. I have one that I face the people in the church with. I have one that I face my family with. I have another one that I deal with the people in my workplace with. And I have one that I only know about that shows up whenever I lock the door after me at the end of the day, and nobody knows what I am doing in my room except myself. If I live like this, I am not one. Satan is the author of division. God is the author of oneness and unity. The only one who can give us this oneness is God. Without this unity, there is no peace. There will always be struggle. I'm changing masks. And I don't know at the end, whom truly am I? Am I the one who loves God or the one who loves the world? Am I the one who wants to live in a certain way that's pleasing to him? Or I am the one who just go wild whenever no one is watching me? Which kind of person I am? When we live like this, there is no peace. If there is no peace, there is no satiation. We cannot enjoy truly anything. So God bless us with freedom and with peace. He gives heavenly wisdom. And this is different. The wisdom that's from above is totally different. Why? Look at what Solomon said about this heavenly wisdom. For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to the man who is good in his sight. He gives what? Wisdom, knowledge, and joy. But to the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and collecting. This is what he spends his time doing at all time. So there is wisdom that's from above, and this wisdom is from above only given by God. He is the only one who can put it in the heart of those people who follow him. What are the characteristics of this wisdom? But the wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. If you think of yourself that you are wise and accordingly, you don't want to yield, to listen, this is not wisdom from above. If you think you are wise and you are in strife and envy all the day, fighting with people around you, this is not wisdom from above. This wisdom is peaceable, willing to yield, merciful, full of everything that is good. Only God can give it to those who truly love and seek him. And by this, we know what we should be doing. We know how to live this life. And by then, we will never lack anything. God also satiates our hunger and quench our thirst when he makes those who love him content and lacking nothing. Contentment is to be satisfied in whatever status you are living under. You do your best, you try your very best to be successful, and at the end of the day, I am happy, I am content. Whatever God gives is enough. This only happens when God is the ultimate goal. No one is going to add or subtract from my joy, because he is my joy. Who is going to add something to God? And who can take him away from us if he is for us? This contentment that we need to learn in order for us to teach it to our children. Why many of our children are not content, always grumbling, their parents are killing themselves to get them whatever they want. At the end of the day, they are not happy, not thankful, not grateful. Why? Maybe we are not grateful. Maybe we are not thankful. Maybe they see in us that we are not really content with being the children of God. And that's why they just copy us. They do what we do. They say what we say. Even what seems like a loss wouldn't really make a big difference in our lives. As I said, if God is the ultimate goal, no one is going to add or subtract anything from this joy. A loss wouldn't trouble us. Yes, as human beings, we might feel sorry because we lost something or someone, but we continue knowing that we have the pearl of the great price, Him, God. And that's why whatever we lose will be not counted as anything. His unceasing love, support, and forgiveness makes Him our unmatched friend and father. If you put your hope in someone or something, you will always have the chance to be frustrated and disappointed. You know, most of the time we are not thinking of the present. We are thinking of the future. And in the future, we think of what is going to happen to us and we get afraid. Or we think of what we might not attain and the hope that we might lose, and then we get frustrated. These two things that come to the mind of the person whom God is not yet the ultimate goal for him. God is the God of the present and the future and the eternity. And God will never disappoint us or frustrate us. This is the only friend that really does not betray the trust of his friends. Set your mind to the contentment that God only can give. And then you will never fear and you will never be frustrated. The last point, God, He does not spare us the suffering, but makes them bear fruits for us. We all fear suffering. It's natural. But God is the only one who can make suffering a reason for us to grow, can make suffering for us a reason for us to be rewarded. And we bear fruits because of these troubles that happen to us. St. James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." Something good will come out from it. Patience. We will learn something when we are troubled. The children of God, when they suffer, they learn nothing. It does not make them to bear fruits. What they grow in day after day is to be upset with God. Many people just live day to day being more angry at God because He is not sparing them troubles. He is not providing for them what they think is fair. Also, from the trouble and suffering, if we are walking with Him, we stop sinning. As St. Peter said, "For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." How this happen? When we see God in the trouble and in the suffering, and we take Him always as the goal. As St. Paul said in the book of Acts, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. When God said, "I am the bread of life, who comes to me will never hunger or never thirst," He spoke about these gifts that He only can give. The gift of freedom, the gift of peace, the gift of wisdom, the gift of making us content and lack nothing, and the gift that He gives to us whenever we are suffering, to bear fruits and to be rewarded through the suffering that we go through. Let us all come to Him truly, walk with Him all the way, and not be distracted with the promises from the world. The world will never satiate our hunger or quench our thirst. Glory be to God forever and ever.